Well, friends, grace and peace from the resurrected Lord and ascended Jesus Christ. Amen. We began this season of Easter 7 Sundays ago on Easter Sunday, on the resurrection of our Lord Day. And according to church tradition, 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, a day we know as the Ascension of our Lord Day, which was, by the way, this past Thursday. I don't know how many of you knew that, but we're going to celebrate today. Jesus's leave-taking, his final physical departure from his disciples, from his friends on earth, was celebrated 40 days after his resurrection. Yes, according to church tradition, Jesus' ascent into heaven took place 40 days after that resurrection. Now I say it's according to church tradition because the gospel writers aren't clear as to how long exactly the time passed between Jesus's between the joy of Easter morning and Christ's ascension into heaven. They're not really clear. As a matter of fact, Mark and Luke are the only two in the Gospels, among the Gospel writers, that actually talks about Jesus's final goodbye. But be that as it may, one thing is clear, that all four gospel writers agreed that Jesus gave his disciples an assignment before he left them. That's what he did during those 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. He gave them, well, he sort of passed on the torch. He sort of passed on the baton for them, so to speak. It's as if to say, and I'm paraphrasing here, my mission is completed. I've done what I came to do. Now it's your turn. Go. Be my witnesses. Now, according to Luke, Jesus began telling his disciples about this, about them needing to be his witnesses, on that very first night of his resurrection. Remember when the disciples gathered in the upper room behind locked doors for fear of the Jews and perhaps for fear that Jesus did actually rose from the dead? Well, that very night, Jesus, according to Luke, already told his disciples what their assignments were. Luke wrote in verse 46 and following of our gospel reading for today, "And Jesus said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" Now, I'm sure that the disciples on that very first night of Jesus' resurrection, I'm sure they must have felt the whole array, the whole range of human emotions that night, from fear to joy about seeing Jesus, who was dead and now stands right before them. I'm sure they felt both confusion and yet achieved understanding upon hearing his words, his commands. Now, assuming that the disciples understood and knew the assignment that Jesus gave them, namely to be his witnesses, 40 days later, somewhere near Bethany, a suburb of Jerusalem, Jesus addresses his friends physically one last time. And perhaps in that address that he had with his disciple one last time, perhaps he reminded them yet again about their assignment, about what they're supposed to do, about the fact that they are to be his witnesses. So Luke tells us in verse 50, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried into heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been standing there looking up at the souls of Jesus as he's disappearing into the clouds, my gut reaction would probably have been something like, wait, what? How can we do that? How can we be witnesses for you? I would sound like Thomas on that Last Supper when Jesus told him that he was going to go to the Father, and Thomas says, how can we know the way? You know, I would be dumbfounded, I would say. I mean, how can Jesus expect me to be his witnesses? It's like asking me to be his ambassador, asking me to be just like him when I'm not even sure about who I am most of the time. How are we to do this witnessing thing? Yes, had I been among the 11 on that day when Jesus ascended into heaven, I would have asked for more clarifications. I would have demanded for more explanation as to what exactly am I supposed to be doing as his witness. But you know, that isn't what the disciples did. Instead, Luke tells us in verse 52 that they worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Now, every time I read this passage, I wonder about the transformation that took place, the change that happened to the disciples during those 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. It's as if they become totally different people. They went from a bunch of scaredy cats, fear-filled disciples on Easter Sunday, to someone who is worshiping and praising Jesus, returning to Jerusalem with great joy and continuing to bless God in the temple. I mean, what really happened to these disciples? They already lost Jesus once on the cross, and that was a devastating blow to them. That was a grief, unbearable grief to them. But now, they lose him a second time, and yet they rejoiced. They were filled with great joy. What gives? What happened to these disciples in those 40 days between Easter morning and the ascension of Jesus? Well, I believe it's because during those 40 days, and especially on that day when Jesus was taken up into heaven, I believe that the disciples finally knew. That they finally and fully and truthfully had seen and believed in God. Now, why do I say that? Well, when Luke says they worshiped Jesus as he ascended, Luke doesn't use this word worship Jesus lightly. In fact, this is the only time in all of Luke's gospel where Jesus is worshiped by his disciples. Why? Well, you have to remember that his disciples are good Jewish men. They knew from as little as a knee-high to a grasshopper that they knew the first commandment backwards and forwards. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. They knew that. They knew that only God deserves their worship, their praise, and their adoration. So when Luke says they worship Jesus, Luke really is saying they finally knew and they finally believed that Jesus was God. All the time they hung around Jesus, they weren't completely sure. But this time they finally knew. And so Luke says they worshiped Jesus. Now, this new understanding was a paradigm shift for the disciples. Not only did they become aware that God was redeeming all of creation through Jesus, but now they also realize that they have a role to play in that redemptive work of Jesus. You are going to be my witnesses, Jesus told them. You are going to show me off to the world. You're going to show the world what you know to be true about me and about God. But how can we possibly do that, you may ask? Well, notice that Jesus didn't say, go do witnessing. Instead, he says, you will be my witnesses. It's the difference between doing and being. Jesus is not asking you and I, he's not asking his disciples then or his disciples today, he's not asking any of us to add more things on our to-do list. Instead, Jesus is asking us to make a new list, a to-be list. A list that would have ways that will be that will lead us to be a witness to him. And on that to-be list, you ought to have an item that lists to be more hungry for the Word of God, which will lead to attending Bible studies or to reading more chapters and verses from the Holy Book. On that to-be list, there ought to be a line that you want to be more aware of the needs around you, which will lead you to participating in more projects and more programs and more ministries that changes lives right here at our Savior's or in our communities or in our city. On that to-be list, you ought to be adding a line that says to be more present with God, which will lead you to be more prayerful, more meditative, reflective on his word. Yes, Christ calls us to be more attentive to God's still small voice through the activities and the daily routines of our lives. And on that to-be list, there ought to be a line that says you would desire to be more of who God created you to be, which may lead you down a spiritual path, a spiritual journey that will transform your life and the lives of those in your own life. And of course, at the top, as well as at the very bottom of this to-be list, kind of bookending your lists, is the line, be more like Jesus. Be more like Christ, which always will render you as his witness wherever you are. But friends, there's a cautionary note to be had here. We can't be Christ's witnesses under our own power, by our own selves. That's why Jesus told his followers, his disciples, that they would be clothed with power from on high. Now, next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday, and we will celebrate the arrival of that power in the world, the arrival and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that came like the rush of a violent wind. Becoming a member of the body of Christ and being fellow believers in his name gives us a lot of power. Just scan through the history of our human civilization and you will quickly learn that a great deal of the changes and transformation that has taken place in our world is because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through the church. Just think of all the institutions that we have today. Most of them got their start by and through the church. Hospitals, nursing homes, schools, they were all started by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through the church. Friends, Christ, Jesus Christ, expects great things of us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to accomplish them. Yes, Jesus calls us to live into our faith, to be willing to share the good news of his love to all that we encounter in this life, so that wherever we may be, we bear witness to him. Yes, the truth is, how we live shows Jesus to others. It's true. How we live our lives on a day-to-day basis show and reveal to others the Jesus that we follow. So the question is, how are you living? Now, it seems that for decades to the present time, a great deal of people, so-called powerful people, from the backwoods to city centers, from the highways and the byways, from Main Street to Wall Street, from the State House to the White House, it seems that the powerful people are all too quick to say that I'm a Christian, that I'm a believer. And they may well be. But my line is always, don't tell me, show me. That's what it means be a witness. And we're called to worship Jesus, the only Son of God, so that we may witness, that we may show, reveal, demonstrate, display who he is and the power that he possesses sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when we do just that, changes and transformations takes place both in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. In fact, in the whole world over. That's what has happened time and time again through the power of the Holy Spirit in the history of our world. And that would not have happened lest Jesus chose to ascend to the Father so that he could send the Holy Spirit, who clothes us in power to do amazing things. And when we do, changes and transformation will indeed take place that will rock this world. For God's glory, of course. Amen.